Chapter 7. The Party. Ichabod spent at least an extra half hour getting ready. He took great care washing, getting dressed, and shaving. He wanted to appear before Katrina in the true style of a romantic night, so he borrowed a horse from the farmer from whom he was renting a room. Unfortunately, this horse was an old broken-down plow horse. He was skinny, and his head looked like a hammer. The hair of his rusty mane and tail was dirty and knotted. One eye had lost its pupil. It was clouded over and ghostly. The other eye was still sharp, though, but it had the gleam of a genuine devil in it. This horse must have had fire and strength in his day. His name was Gunpowder. Ichabod Crane was a suitable knight for such a horse. He rode using short stirrups. These made his knees bend high up, near to the horn of the saddle. They came up so high that they almost touched his chin, and his sharp elbows stuck out like those of a grasshopper. He carried his whip upright in his hand, like a sword. As his horse jogged on, his arms moved up and down like the flapping of a pair of wings. A small hat rested on the top of his head. His black coat fluttered out behind him almost past the horse's tail. Such was the silly appearance of Ichabod and Gunpowder. They rode proudly toward the Van Tassel farm, nonetheless. The sky was clear and calm. Nature wore the rich and golden colors that we always associate with abundance. The forests were brown and yellow. Some trees had been turned by frost into brilliant dyes of orange, purple, and red. Streaming V's of wild ducks began to make their appearance high in the air. The cry of the squirrel might be heard from high up in the trees. Occasionally, a quail whistled sadly from the neighboring hayfield. Small birds were eating their fill before flying south. They fluttered from bush to bush and tree to tree. They cheerfully celebrated the abundance and variety around them. There were chirping blackbirds in dark clouds. There were golden-winged woodpeckers with their red heads and beautiful feathers, and other birds with red-tipped wings and yellow-tipped tails. There were noisy blue jays with their cheerful light blue backs and white bellies. These jays screamed and chattered, pretending to be on good terms with every bird of Sleepy Hollow. As Ichabod jogged slowly on his way, his eyes examined the countryside. He delighted in everything edible he encountered. On all sides he saw vast stores of apples, both in baskets and still in trees. Farther on, he saw great fields of corn with their golden ears sticking up from their leafy covers. He saw orange pumpkins lying beneath the corn, their fair round bellies turned up to the sun. This gave him visions of delicious, rich pies. Farther on, he passed buckwheat fields filled with the sweet scent of honey. The schoolmaster imagined stacks of soft, warm pancakes covered in creamy butter and sweet golden honey. Thus feeding his mind with many sweet thoughts, he journeyed along a range of hills. These hills gave him a view of the most beautiful scenery of the mighty Hudson River. The sun gradually slid down in the west. A few orange-yellow clouds floated in the sky without a breath of air to move them. The horizon had a fine golden color. It changed gradually into a pure apple green, and then to the deep blue of the heavens. It was toward evening that Ichabod the Knight arrived at the castle of the Van Tassels. The whole property was filled with folk of the surrounding country. Old farmers wore homemade coats and pants, blue socks, huge shoes, and magnificent metal belt buckles. Their wives wore long gowns with homemade skirts. Pretty young women dressed almost the same as their mothers did. The only differences were maybe a straw hat or a fine ribbon that showed a modern influence from faraway cities. The young men wore short, square-skirted coats with rows of big brass buttons. All wore the best articles from their closets. Brom Bones, however, was the hero of the scene. He rode to the gathering on his favorite horse, Daredevil. This creature, like Brom himself, was full of strength and mischief. Indeed, no one but Brom could manage Daredevil. All others who tried were thrown powerfully to the ground. When our ever-hungry knight arrived at the Van Tassel home, he was stunned at the scene that met his eyes. Such heaped-up plates of cakes of various and almost indescribable kinds. There were tender baked donuts and crisp fried donuts. There were sweet cakes and shortcakes. There were ginger cakes and honey cakes and 100 other types of cakes. And then there were apple pies and peach pies and pumpkin pies. There were also slices of ham and smoked beef. Moreover, he saw delicious dishes of preserved plums, peaches, and pears. Not to mention roasted fish and chickens. Or the bowls of milk and cream, all arranged around the motherly teapot, sending up its clouds of steam. Ichabod Crane was a kind and thankful creature. His heart swelled in proportion as his mouth and stomach were filled with good cheer. His spirits rose with eating, as some men's do with drink. He could not help rolling his large eyes round him as he ate. He laughed cheerfully to himself at the possibility that he might one day be lord of all this almost unimaginable luxury. Then he thought, how soon he'd turn his back upon the old schoolhouse. How quickly he'd pack his belongings and fly from the small, cold, rented rooms. How quickly he'd kick out any other wandering teacher that should dare to treat him as an equal. Old Baltus Van Tassel moved about among his guests with a face as round and cheerful as the harvest moon. His voice shared contentment and good humor. His welcoming attentions were brief but expressive. He offered a shake of the hand, a slap on the shoulder, and an invitation to his guests to help themselves. And then the sound of the music from the hall summoned everyone to the dance. The musician was an old, gray-headed man. He had served as the orchestra of the neighborhood for more than half a century. His violin was as old and battered as himself. The greater part of the time, he scraped on just two or three strings. He accompanied every movement of the bow with a motion of his head. He bowed almost to the ground and stamped with his foot whenever a fresh couple was ready to start. Ichabod Crane prided himself upon his dancing as much as upon his singing. Not a limb, not a muscle about him was idle. How could the happy knight be otherwise than animated and joyous? The lady of his heart was his partner in the dance, and she smiled graciously in reply to all his loving looks. And Brom Bone sat jealously by himself in one corner.